You're listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast. We are your hosts, Evie McLeod and Lindsay Roman. Thank you for showing up for another episode. Guys, today's episode is fire. I feel like I always say that, but genuinely, this conversation is so needed for any mom, entrepreneur, woman that is considering having kids in the future or now. Well, if you have... You're a mom actively now. Okay, you get it.
I feel like honestly, any entrepreneur who has ever felt like a failure is in a season of feeling like a failure.
That's true.
There's so many layers to this conversation.
But specifically, if you are a mom or want kids in the future, definitely do not listen. Get off this. Click play.
Yes.
Well, you're already clicking play because you
don't click pause.
Thank you. Don't click pause. Anyways, today we have our dear friend Kiri Price on the show, and whew, it was such a good conversation.
Yeah. So Kiri is currently a mother of three children, ages 5, 4, and 20 months, living in East Texas. God has been recently leading Kiri on a sanctifying mission of pursuing her family as a homemaker and homeschooling mother versus as a serial entrepreneur and a novelist.
And today's conversation with Kiri, she basically opens up, like we joke on the show, it's kind of the opposite end of the highlight reel. Mm-hmm. Today, she just kind of bears it all and shares the story of her kind of going after serial entrepreneur pursuits, like, you know, a shop, a novelist, like she's done all these things,
a blog.
And she kept feeling God say, hey, I want you to return home and I want you to be a stay-at-home mom with your kids. Mm-hmm. And kind of the feeling of failure within that or you know, just there's so much goodness in this
conversation.
Shifting
our perspective of what success means, feeling like a failure as an entrepreneur, understanding the depth and the beauty of motherhood and the work that is involved. There's so much in this conversation. And Kiri just brings so much truth and grace and power to this talk. So,
and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It's such a good talk. So don't go anywhere. Keep listening. We got a great show with Kiri.
Interrupting today's episode because photographers, we are calling you out. Most of us spend the majority of our time stuck behind a computer editing and calling rather than focusing on growing our business and giving our clients an amazing experience. We personally got stuck in that hole for way too long, believing only I could edit my own photos.
So today, we wanted to introduce to you Post Partner. Unlike other photo editing companies, Post Partner is designed to partner with you for the long term as you grow your business. In fact, 92% of photographers who submit more than 5 weddings with Post Partner stay long-term over 5+ years. They are that good. And in addition to their premium editing service, Post Partner recently launched hybrid AI editing.
No matter what your workflow is, every single photo is reviewed and adjusted by Post Partner's team of photographers turned editors who care about you and your business.
All right, so it's time to get back to growing your business today. To get $200 off your first order, go to postpartner.com/heartandhustle. And the code is heart and hustle, all capitals.
Hey, hey, I'm Lindsay Roman.
And I'm Evie McLeod, and we are family and legacy-focused serial entrepreneurs and the founders of The Heart University, a business education company with a mission to help you thrive in your business and life.
Welcome to our Entrepreneur Cocktail Hour, where business and marketing strategies meet faith, real talk, and raw and life-changing conversations.
At the end of the day, we are all in this together, figuring out how to navigate the ups and downs, the messy and the beautiful, and everything in between. This is a community where you can come as you are, get inspired, and walk away equipped to build a legacy-filled life.
You're listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast.
Hello, Kiri. Welcome to the Heart and Hustle podcast.
Good morning, you guys.
Oh, we are so excited to have you on the show. I've known you for a while, and we are so excited for this conversation just to really dive in to kind of what happens when maybe a dream doesn't work out the way you think you're going to or think it's going to, and just really leaning on the Lord. And I'm excited to hear your story. But before we get into that, can you introduce yourself to our audience? Tell them a little bit about you, who you are, and what you do.
Of course. So my name is Kiri. On Instagram or social media, I usually go by Kay, just to help with any confusion. So I live in Texas. I'm a mom of 3, 6 and under. I'm originally from Connecticut, hence why I don't have a Texas accent. I'm not from here. My husband and I have been married going on 8 years. We have a little homestead and homeschool now and are both entrepreneurs. And met in college, we're college sweethearts. So I'm trying to think what else about me. I like to exercise and I like to read and I like being a mom. So that's with me in a gist.
Perfect. I love it. Well, I know we're going to talk about motherhood and your life as a stay-at-home mom because you had a business before and then you kind of transitioned into being a full-time stay-at-home mom. Is that right?
Yes, I had a couple businesses before I transitioned into being a stay-at-home mom. And yeah, it's a great story. So I'm really glad to be on here with your audience and getting to finally talk about it.
Yay. I love it. Okay. Unless Lindsay has another idea, I'm down. If you just want to like share, just start sharing, like what were your businesses? What, I guess, led you to the decision to walk away from those? Like, I'm just going to like say the mic is yours, Kiri, just run with it, share your story. And then we'll jump in conversational, ask questions, follow-ups. But I feel like just run, mic is yours. Give us the background of like, what were your businesses and what was your experience in journey leading you to walk away from them?
Okay. So my first business was right out of college. So I studied kinesiology in college. I wanted to be in corporate wellness. I thought I was going to be a corporate girly. Hey. And I tried that out and I did not like it. I had that an internship with that and it blowed. So I used to be an avid swimmer all my life. I love to swim. And so I started a swim lesson business and I taught little kids how to swim and it was so fun. When I got pregnant with my first baby, when I was 22, I ended up stopping that because it's really hard to teach little kids how to swim when your stomach is the size of a watermelon. And I transitioned into blogging. So in 2017, when my first baby was about 4 months old, I really felt pressed to start a blog. After I got pregnant, I had begun doing freelance writing. So I stopped my swim lesson business and I picked up freelancing. And so I was doing ghostwriting for journalists and formal editing for self-publishing authors. And then I really felt led to start a blog. So it was called We're the Least of These. Now it's called Wildly Rooted. But I really felt like I wanted to keep my writing up. And that's kind of when social influencing started becoming a thing. And I was like, oh, I want to do that someday. Mm-hmm. And so I jumped into that. And that kind of really took off from word of mouth. So that slowly transitioned into me starting to become an author, a writer. In 2020, I self-published my first book and I just continued to help doing like writing coaching, freelance editing, doing guest blogs. Then I started my podcast in 2020. And I've gotten to do like a couple anthologies. So like being a contributing writer to a poetry anthology and a devotional. Yeah. And so that's kind of been like my foundational business for the past 6 years since I've become a mom. But I've always had a horrible habit of loading up my plate and doing the most. So interspersed in there, mm-hmm. I started getting really
relatable.
I started getting really interested in entrepreneurship and I'm trying to like make sure I have the order correct. So I did my swim lesson business, I think one more summer, and then I got pregnant again with my second baby and I had to stop it again. And then I picked up in 2020, I used to have a little Etsy shop. It was called Hippie and Spice. And so during the pandemic, my husband and I really started picking up business. So he used to be an occupational therapist and I was doing part-time swim coaching. So I stopped my swim business and then I started working for a high school as a part-time junior varsity swim coach because we needed to pay the bills. And then COVID happened and I got furloughed. And my head coach didn't really need my help anymore. And so I went home and I just started crafting because everything was shut down. Nobody had anything else to do. So I used to make wood bead chandeliers, and then I started making candles, and I started doing like apothecary, and just dabbled in that for about 2 years, 3 years, I think. And that's when my husband started his business. So we have a general contracting company. That's like our main business that we run together. And so I did my hippie and spice for about 3 years. And then everything came to a head in 2022. So at the end of 2021, we had our third baby. And that's when everything really shifted for me, where all of a sudden my plate was just spilling over, but in a way where no matter what I did, like I could not scoop the contents back onto the plate. It was just a mudslide, and my life felt like a mudslide. And I really felt God just pressing and pressing and pressing and saying, you need to give this up. Like you have to stop. And it was such a struggle for me because I had so much of my identity in my success. And I never really had a good idea of what success even meant. And so the last business that we started up was a cleaning company. And that was in 2022. Like I said, I do the absolute most. It's a problem. Yeah. I've spent a year.
I love it. The common problem.
Yeah. I've spent this year doing a lot of self-reflection and just trying to understand those habits of why I do this. So in 2022, I really felt like, okay, we're going to try this business out. This cleaning company, I've always wanted to try this. I think it will be great. And after about 6 months, it was just not working out. And I had to pull the plug on that. And then I also was like, okay, I'm done. I pulled the plug on Hippie and Spice. I shut down my podcast. I stopped everything. And that was incredibly difficult. And it's so funny because after all that, maybe about a month after, I think is when I pitched myself to your podcast again. And in my head, I was like, oh, by the time we do this podcast, I bet everything's going to have changed. I bet, you know, maybe God will have given me a business back. Maybe, you know, my blog will have picked up, or my podcast will have picked up, or my social media. And it's so funny because every month that has gone by, I'm like, oh God, this is a joke. You're joking right now. You're kidding. It keeps getting worse. It's not going to get any better.
I love it.
Yeah. And so just praying through that, it's been humorous. I know God has a sense of humor, but he's like, this is not what I have for you. And so I've had to learn how to trust what does he have for me? What is his best for me? And not trying to keep forcing square pegs into circular holes, and just taking advantage of, in my view, the nothing he's given me. But I've really been learning to challenge that perspective and see that raising my children, taking care of my house, supporting my husband, making time for friends, homeschooling, that's enough. Like, that's not nothing. Mm-hmm. That's plenty. Taking care of my body.
Those are multiple full-time jobs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so anything now is a joke. Like, we'll be like, oh, we should, I don't know, start this business. Or I have dreams all the time that I started a new business and it's going well. And I'll wake up and tell my husband, he's like, oh, that's hilarious. Why would we ruin our lives and do that? And so it's just a joke now because we know we don't have the capacity, but we're content with that. And we are able to be okay with that. And not, I'm not kidding. It took a year. It took a whole year for us to get to that point, especially for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you just for being candid and like sharing such it, from such a vulnerable spirit. Mm-hmm. Because that's not easy, especially when there's things that you even said, you were like, oh, maybe it'll get better. And it keeps feeling like it's not. But I almost want to like talk to that point. Because I think so many women and moms out there feel that way of like they'll see the highlight reel out on social media or they'll see other moms or non-moms just killing it. And they're like, why is that not happening for me? And we almost get into this cycle of thinking that like, oh, if we're not like the girl boss or we're not like making money or doing something other than raising our children, that like we're a failure. And I just like, we all know that in our heads, but I just want to like remind us here and remind the listeners that like that is the lie that Satan mm-hmm. wants to come in and get us to like believe and just seep into our hearts when like, we were literally just talking about this as friends, candidly, but like we feel like there is a shift culturally. And you were saying like mm-hmm. since COVID a little bit, but even maybe a little bit before that of just
I feel
like
it was catalyzed by COVID.
By COVID, but started a little bit
faster
before.
Oh, for sure.
Of just like yeah. the pendulum swing from like girl boss feminist culture of like, oh, hustle we can be culture. Like the men. We can go out and do the corporate girl boss thing because we are the same and we're equal and all the things. And it's like that. There's an element of goodness in that a little bit, but also not. And I think that's pendulum swinging back to
yeah.
like women feeling that need to like nurture and go back to their home and not that the girl bossing is bad, not that owning businesses is bad in any shape of the
We still magic. Own multiple.
Yeah, we still own multiple. But I just, even in our lives and then mm-hmm. yours obviously too, and then just like friends that we've seen, there is definitely a pendulum shift. Like people mm-hmm. are like, not people, women are coming back to the home and nurturing yeah. so and motherhood so much more than I've seen in the past.
And I think it's a hard shift to take, like you said, Kiri. Like it's a hard shift, especially as a very passionate, very driven woman. To and I know we've experienced this year. You've experienced this year. The hard shift of being like letting go of something that culturally is universally acknowledged as like so powerful and successful and whatnot, as like owning multiple businesses and, you know, hitting certain revenue figures and whatnot, to really truly embracing and agreeing with the power, the beauty, and the hard work of like homemaking and motherhood and homeschooling and whatnot. And it's like this mental shift that even though like we are all feeling, I think, the tug to it, it can still be so hard to shift and be like, I'm not being lazy. This is still very much work. And this is still very much just as powerful and successful and worthy and, you know, wonderful. So I would love to hear from you, Kiri, in that shift, what have been some of the biggest lessons that you've learned or some of the biggest things that God has taught you or spoken to you in kind of embracing the mindset shift of, you know, revenue, success, multiple businesses to, you know, home and children and raising the next generation, you know, supporting your husband. Like, what have been some of your lessons that you've learned that you would love to speak to a listener who's maybe feeling the same tug or in the exact same season?
Oh, I love that question. I have a handful, so bear with me. My first big one, and this is...
We're here for it.
So vulnerable for me to say, but I was reading Psalm 62 this morning or listening to it, and I'm horrible at quoting scripture, but if you go look at Psalm 62, it basically says to not put your comfort in worldly riches. And so off the bat, I realized that my pursuit of my businesses was like a hunger game for me. I was on my own at 17 and I put myself through college until I got married. I took care of myself. And so what I've been raised mm-hmm. with and what I had essentially taught myself growing up was that money is key and money is power. And what I saw growing up as being the best, or knowing that I was the most successful, or what I assumed would make my parents proud, was, do I make a lot of money? Am I sustaining myself? Mm-hmm. Am I saving? Can I have a nice house? Can I afford nice things? Can I afford to travel the world? And it really showed this year when I pulled the plug on all of those businesses and shut everything down, that even though I had come to a saving faith in Jesus, that root that I was raised with was still growing, and I needed to prune it off once and for all. I needed to kill that root and be done with it. And so there was a lot of repenting. There was a lot of me having to sit back and realize, okay, I have this fear, whether legitimate or illegitimate, that we don't have enough, that I won't have enough, and I need to provide, and I need, and I need, and we need, and we need. And God was finally like, no, you don't. I've given you your daily bread. Mm. I've always provided for you guys, and that is enough. But I really realized I did not believe that. I, to my core, never felt like it was enough. Whew. So that really sucked, but it was good. It was shining a light in a dark spot of my heart that I had never even thought to shine a light at before. And so then the second thing that I was really, really convicted of was my mindset. Realizing that I had like a pessimistic mindset. I think one, it's just kind of my natural personality, but two, just environmentally grew with age through my life experiences. And so was our cleaning company. So even before that, so another fun little pit stop was that I used to work in the mission field. I used to work with Young Life. And that lasted about 6 months. It was a job that I was like, oh, I don't feel qualified for this. But I was asked to consider it. And the Lord really, he said yes. And so we walked faithfully through that. And that job lasted about 6 months. And I was like, yeah, I want to so badly. I had just had a baby. Literally my third baby was like 2 months old when I started this job. So I took him everywhere with me, and it was such a cool experience. But it really showed me just how important my presence was at home, even though I was only doing that job part-time. Nothing in the mission field is ever part-time. That's the joke. Like you're doing overtime and you're getting paid like pennies, but I knew that part of my story has been so pivotal, because that was the first moment where my mindset shifted. My daughter at the time was like 2.5. And one day I came home and she was like, Mommy, I miss you. And I was like, whoa. Because here I was always thinking that, okay, before 2, before 3, like they're not going to remember this. So it's better that I get this hard work done now versus doing it when they're older. And that's when I realized, wow, I was wrong. I really felt like I was wrong. Those little moments was when it mattered the most, when my presence being the nurturer was like, that was the time. That's the time they needed. Our kids always need nurturing throughout their whole lives, but I firmly believe and see now developmentally, psychologically, spiritually, how the nurturing presence of your mom and your youth is pivotal. It's pivotal. It's foundational. And without it, that's where I feel like you kind of get me, where I'm almost 30 and struggling to see myself in anything more than I'll just say it bluntly, feeling like I always have to prove myself, where I don't think that I was nurtured as well as a kid, because I was raised by a mom boss. I was raised by a woman who firmly believed that, you know, they had to be equal to a man to prove their status. And where I missed those moments of nurture because I was in daycare. And my dad, he worked nights. And so he would take care of me during the daytime. And so I spent a ton of time with my dad as a little girl. And I love my dad to pieces. But I think being raised by a man gives you a different output than when you're raised by a woman. And that's just biological truth. Like, that's just how it is, you know? So yeah. I had that huge mindset shift. I left that job with Young Life. And then a few months later was when I started my cleaning company. Because in my mind, I was like, well, if I'm doing something on my own, I'm setting my own hours, I can do what I need to make sure that I'm not missing those moments with my daughter. But that job was so, so hard. And I hired a manager off the bat. I hired staff off the bat because I knew this is my capacity and I cannot go over this. But no matter what I did, I just could not get this business off the ground. And about 6 months after I started it, we invested all this money into it. I really didn't want to stop because, again, that root of provision was like, well, we can't shut this down. We're going to be out thousands of dollars and are, you know, tarnishing our reputation, blah, blah, blah. But God, I was like, okay, God, if this one last thing falls through, it was basically like I had a person on staff quit. I was like, if this person quits, because I kind of felt like it was coming, I was like, then that means it's done. And literally 10 minutes later, she texts me and quits. And I like broke down. I broke down. I lost it. Wow. And I was like, wow, God, like you're taking this dream and you just are crushing it into like a paper ball and like balling. Like you're balling with my heart right now. And you're making swoosh after swoosh after swoosh. But like... I'm not getting a W here, you know? Like, this sucks so much.
Where's my win?
Yes. I was like, in my head, I was like, he's winning and I'm losing. And that's when I hit that another head where I guess into, you know, lesson three was that I had failure all wrong. And that's where... I wanted to learn how to celebrate. I wanted to learn how to celebrate failures. Because in my head, all these business adventures, having to stop them were failures. And so I just felt like this big pile of fail. And I had to challenge my mindset so deeply. One, I wanted to learn how to celebrate that I failed. Because if I failed, that means I tried, right? At least I tried. At least I gave it a good go. But what the Lord has now taught me this year was that those were not even failures to begin with. Like those were wins. Those were wins because I went out with a huge leap of faith multiple times, putting myself out there. Like I said, I don't have a business degree. So everything that I've learned has been self-taught. Free classes, YouTube, blogs, books, on audiobooks, podcasts, y'all's podcasts, like recognizing that everything I had done was self-taught. That's a huge win. That shows an initiative, that shows ambition, that shows drive, that shows motivation, and that shows a willingness to change, right? And so that's not a failure anymore. That's a win. I can celebrate that. And then... putting, you know, money behind these dreams, that's a win. Like that takes a lot of confidence. That takes a lot of trust. Like that's not easy to let that go.
Yeah.
And then ask, okay, God, your will be done. If you're going to multiply it, multiply it. If you're not, then don't. And I immediately think of the parable about the managers with the talents, how God gave resources to the three different workers and not God, the guy who gave the money is supposed to be God.
Yeah.
In the parable, it's a landlord gives these managers these talents, and one buries it because he's afraid to lose it. And then one, you know, makes two times the money off of his talents, and then another one makes bukus of money off of his talents. And so I learned to see that through my fear of never feeling like I had enough. The fact that I put money behind these businesses, the first year I had Hippie and Spice, like I said, it was pandemic year. We did incredible. That money sustained my family during the year that we didn't have work. Mm. Like that money put food on the table. Yeah. That was a blessing, right?
Yeah.
And so when the Lord took that away, I was heartbroken, but I also really wanted to see it as, okay, God says we don't need this anymore. We don't need this extra. We can do without. That's and so once good. I closed it down, life got so much more peaceful, so much more manageable, so much more enjoyable. And then with the cleaning business, I think I made $300. I made $300 with that business. So,
hey, you didn't go in the hole. Celebrate that.
Oh, we went in the hole, unfortunately, but we tried. We tried. And so I just saw too that, okay, I'm investing my talents in something that's not producing revenue. This is not what the Lord would have for me. This is not how He wants me to use my resources. This is not wise. As much as I want this to work out, it's not working out. And I don't want to waste His money. And and so then coming home, I really was like, okay, well, now I can get my blog going. I can do my podcast. I can get sponsorships. I can get brand deals. And I tried that for about a month using every social media hack. If you do this and you do this, it's going to work. And you do this and you do this and it's going to work. And it was not working. I see my friends doing the exact same thing and they're going viral and they're getting all these new followers. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? We're doing the exact same thing, but you're taking off and I'm not. Yeah. And they're like, I literally didn't do anything. Like, I swear to goodness, I didn't do anything. Like, if anything, your videos are better than mine. Yeah. And so that's when it hit me too, that I need to stop. Like, I need to just hard stop now, because I'm just trying to push my way through, and I'm not letting the Lord do what He needs to do in this season. And so I've been off social media now for 3 months. My plan is to come back in January. I don't know when. I haven't made a plan. But I just really felt like once and for all, I had to challenge my mindset to see that the Lord is good, but also that all of these things, all of these failures were pushing me away from God. They were making me feel like He doesn't love me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't want me to, you know, have this dream. He's giving everybody else this dream except for me. And I've done everything right. And I've followed the stats and I've done the analytics and I've done this and I've hired this person. Like, I've literally done everything in the book from A to Z. I'm still not getting any sort of like movement, no margin. You're not budging. You hate me. And He was like, really? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, He didn't verbally say this, but He was like, you know, wow, like, I hate you. Is that really how you feel about me?
Wow.
And so just stopping everything and getting deep into the Word and realizing I had a lot of soul work I needed to do has shown me that, one, the Lord, He does not hate. The Lord God is love. The devil hates. Mm-hmm. And so all this darkness, all this anger that I'm feeling, like, that is a work of Satan. That is not a work for my God. Like, my God only has love and compassion for me. And so if I'm feeling all of these things, then, like, if anything, I'm following Satan's agenda. I'm not following the Lord's agenda, because if I do something, then there should be peace and joy and gentleness and kindness that's coming out of it, not angst and depression and fear and but doubt. So these businesses clearly are not what God has for me right now. And so that leads me then to lesson number four. Once I had that mindset shift now of like really learning to walk the walk and like learning what true contentment looks like, what true contentment means. And I want to see business now through a scope of those fruits of the Spirit, kindness and gentleness and peace and faithfulness, where people are not just, you know, my mass consumers, like, they're humans with hearts and souls and feelings. And me making a buck off of them is not the goal at the end of the day. Like, the goal is to honor the Lord and to use His talents wisely, whether it's me selling a good, providing a service, doing freelancing, sharing my gifts. Like, I want it to come out of a heart of abundance, not a scarcity mindset where I feel like, oh, I have to. No, like, I get to. Yeah. I get to.
Yeah.
And I really don't feel like a lot of my businesses had been run with that mindset, which grieves me because I recognize that I was not acting faithfully. I was not acting out of trust and love. And I don't ever want to do that again.
Amen.
All right, entrepreneurs, let's face it. You're in a pickle. You're not attracting your ideal clients because your brand visuals are just meh at best. And you're not showing up as the professional ready to make their life 500 times better. Do you honestly feel like your website just sucks? Like your branding feels like you created it in Microsoft's Paint? Anyone else remember Microsoft's Paint? Is that just me? Okay. And your client experience just overall feels like it's seriously lacking. And you just need a change right now. But let's be honest, you're not ready to drop $8K on a custom web and brand design. Well, don't worry. That's where we come in.
Introducing the solution to all of your website struggles, the Heart Shop website templates. Now, we spent hours designing these customizable, professional, and conversion-intense website templates with our incredible designer, Sarah Crook of Elizabeth Designs. They are so incredibly easy to use and customize with Showit's user-friendly interface. Yes, by the way, you can easily learn how to work with Showit, even if you've never touched a website or any design platform before. And you can change literally anything you want. No more being limited to squares on your website. It's a drag and drop system that is freaking easy and looks incredible. Oh, you want more information? Cool, I got you. The templates come already SEO optimized with copy prompts from Lindsay and I included. Yeah, you don't just get nonsensical filler text. You get bomb education and prompts from Lindsay and I to help you wow your potential clients and crush your website copy. And we designed a variety of these in different styles so you can find the closest match and then tweak it to make it fully your own.
If you're ready to save thousands of dollars and hours upon hours upon hours of your time and get clients flooding through your website, you need to check these out. So grab yours at theheartuniversity.com/website-templates. One more time, that's theheartuniversity.com/website-templates. If you're enjoying what you're getting in this podcast for free, then you're about to get your mind blown with what we offer in our educational courses. If you're ready to uplevel your business, serve your clients like never before, and reach revenue goals that you've barely dared to dream of, then we're ready to help.
Our courses are packed full of tools, formulas, strategies, and resources to help you kick freaking butt in biz. Whether you choose the photo major, a complete course for photographers, or the content photo minor, a mini course on how to finally slay your content photos for your blog, Insta, headshots, whatever, you will walk away with more knowledge than you ever thought possible. And here's the reality. We are here to see you succeed. Always and forever. And that is why we created each and every one of these courses.
To check them out for yourself, read the reviews, and look at each course syllabus, go to theheartuniversity.com/courses. That's theheartuniversity.com/courses.
Wow. Okay.
So good.
You just gave a whole sermon right there. Like straight up.
That was like a book.
That was literally, well, she has wrote a book. So that makes sense. But I'm looking at like on our question list, what our next three questions were. And you like literally just like sermonized your way through all of them. I'm like, wow, that was so good.
In the best way.
I want to, as you were talking, I almost got like a vision of like when we, because I've had this kind of same conversation with so many friends or mentees or people that I'm coaching or anything like that, where it's like when something isn't going the way that we want it to, or the way that we think it should, we're like, our automatic response is like, God, where are you? Why are you not in this? What's going on? Why am I getting such resistance when everyone around me is feeling such, or not feeling, just like they're experiencing the wins that I want to experience. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you blessing them and not me? Do you hate me? Like you just said. And I almost get this vision of like, there's a wood or woods, whatever, a forest, if you will. And there's like two paths, or maybe there's multiple paths, but there is a path that has your name on it, like that God has for you. And it's clear of all the branches. It's clear of all the brush. It's just like this perfectly little whimsical woodsy path where you can see the butterflies and whatever. Okay, I'm good. Anyways, you can walk easily in it and it's like beautiful. But yeah. I see, like, when we're trying to do something that God doesn't have for us in a specific season, it's like us trying to comb through the brush and there's not a path and we're trying to forge. We're trying to be the girl boss and we're trying to forge our way through this, like, forest. But it's like we're getting caught up in thorns and, like, branches slapped in our face because we're trying to do something that isn't the path that He's set out for us. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, I'm not saying in this conversation that, like, every single woman has to quit their job right now and be a homemaker.
For some people, that's not an option. Yeah, exactly.
I think also on top of that, it's like, just because you are having to, like, maybe, like, forge a path does not necessarily mean that that's not the path that God has for you.
Right.
But that, I feel like there are seasons where we are on, like, the path that God's like, over here, that not, not over there, over here.
The friction. Mm-hmm. And again, not that friction is bad or not that business being hard is bad, because it's, you know, challenges arise in life.
I feel like we know when we actually sit down and assess, like, am I on the path that God has for me? This does feel difficult. God will come and be like, no, you're pioneering a new path. Like, you are the trailblazer right now. Like, I will, you know, empower you. I will provide the grace for you to get through this. Like, you've got this. I'm beside you. Like, we can tell when we're trailblazing versus when we're just getting lost in the woods.
Yeah.
And God's like, hello.
Resistance.
Yes.
It's almost like the resistance is God being like, hi, you're trying to do something
sometimes
without me.
Sometimes. I feel like when you feel the resistance, you have to stop and ask.
Yes.
Like, God, is this a closed door? Am I, like, slamming up against a brick wall? Because we've done that in our businesses before where we're like, it's like, let's more. And it's like brick wall. And Kiri, it sounds like you're saying, like, the same thing. You've been in a season where it was like the brick wall. And finally, we finally stopped slamming our foreheads against this brick wall. And we're like, hang on, God, where's the door? And he's like, there is no door. Turn around.
Over here.
It's behind you.
Literally. Is it a test or is it a temptation?
Yeah, literally. It's like that. I feel like the resistance is the signal to be like, hey, where are you? Are you in this? And I feel like half the time in my experiences, God's like, yes, I'm in this. I'm empowering you. Go forward.
We're like, no, God, get on our page.
Where are you? Build the door here. And he's like, it's 2 feet to your left and behind you. And we're like, oh, shoot. Like, so I feel like that's the signal. Like, the resistance is a really powerful. Yeah, I totally lost. Yeah, I feel like the resistance in my experience is such a powerful moment to assess and stop and ask the Lord, is this a trailblazing experience in a moment where, like, you're refining me through this? And well, he always is refining us, but is this like you're strengthening my muscles to blaze a trail? Yeah. Or is this a brick wall moment where you are telling me, like, hey, it's not here? And I feel like that's the beauty. And I feel like a lot of us in life.
What's the phrase? Like a marching band when you turn 180, but there's a term for it.
I know
about
what you
face,
mean,
that's
I
it.
About, there we go. Good job.
I love it. Well, Kiri, what would you say in your experience of about facing and experiencing, you know, a season of business? Because I think what you spoke on was so dang resonating with so many of us entrepreneurs, where it is so hard as an entrepreneur, because entrepreneurs are usually very driven, very visionary, very hardworking, determined people who are determined to, like, work through struggles. And, you know, we want things to turn out really well. We want to be successful. In a season of business where you have to just kind of sit there, like you're saying, you sat and assessed and were like, I am not stewarding my talents well through this business. And this is not where God has me. And it's almost shifting that mindset, like you said, of failure and what failure means, and actually, like, no, this was actually a success. But I feel like, practically speaking, that is so hard for entrepreneurs to really swallow that, like, pill of failure and to shift that mindset. So do you have any, like, practical things that you did to walk yourself through either the decision or after the decision was made, how to, like, encourage yourself that this was the right thing and that, you know, God was in it? Like, that tangible, the moment of being like, acknowledging this is not working the way it should be, I'm going to walk away. I feel like that is so hard for so many of us entrepreneurs. I feel like you probably have more wisdom on that, and I would love to dig into that a little bit more.
I love that question. So I'll say my mantra this year has been learning how to struggle with grace. I was really sick with an illness right around the time all this stuff fell apart. So I was, like, devastatingly ill at the time too. And so when my businesses collapsed, I was like, great. Like, I really don't see how I can get any lower than this. And so in all frankness, like, I was very depressed. I really felt like I was like manic. I was having panic attacks because as I've learned to identify, my identity felt ripped from me, where once those things were taken, I was like, who even am I? Because if I don't have these businesses, if I don't have these fronts, like, I don't know who I am. And I didn't want to put that and project it on my children and on my family, where it's like, because I always felt like as being an entrepreneur, I'm more than a mom. And I always felt like I had to prove myself that I'm more than a mom. I'm more than a mom. And now I see that motherhood is a gift. We don't get to control motherhood. Mm-hmm. If the Lord sees it fit to give us children, that is a gift. That's an inheritance. Like, that's a portion of heaven that he's like decided to give to us on earth to enjoy, you know? And so learning how to see my children that way, where after all these things are falling apart, I was like, I have to be healthy. Like, I have to be a full, complete me. If I'm going to do this right, if I'm going to have to, you know, step away from these things and immerse myself in the household, like, I don't want to come home and just be this ragey, panicky, depressed mom, just like on the couch in my sweats. And I don't want to be faking it, right? I want to be intact. And so I went straight to counseling. I was out of town when I had to shut down my businesses. And so I emailed my counselor and I was like, I think I need to get on antidepressants or something. I don't know what. And I don't know what you need to do with me, but we need to do something because this is out of control. And so I went straight to counseling and just started unpacking these things. Like, my businesses are collapsing. I feel like I'm a failure. I don't know what to do. And she was like, well, you're not a failure. And like, you are more than your businesses. Just like, you're more than being a mom. Cause in my head, being a stay-at-home mom meant I'm never going to leave the house. I'm just going to like start wearing, like, no offense to anybody who wears ankle length jean skirts. They are not my thing. I've never worn them, but like, I'm going to have to start dressing like I love a little house in the prairie, and y'all make little house in the prairie work. It does not work for me. It's not my style. I tried. I look
cottage
crazy.
Core is coming back. Cottage core.
It is. I love it. But I've had to learn, that's like, that's not my body type. I'm like a bodycon type skirt dress person. Like, that's what works with the hips the Lord has decided to bless me with. And so in my head, I always had this assumption, like, I'm gonna have to make myself lesser than to be a stay-at-home mom, to be a homeschooled mom. And my therapist really challenged me to open up my eyes and just accept who I am. What do you like to do? How do you like to dress? How don't you like to dress? What do you like to read? And not just parenting books, beyond that. Like, who are you as a person? Who does the Lord say you are? I spent so much time in the Bible, like, learning who God says I am, because if I can't believe anything about myself, who I think I am or say I am, then as a child of God, then I'm just going to have to believe what he says about me and go from there. My emotional capacity is like -7 and I just can't get there. And so I need to trust him and I need to rely on him right now and his definitions of my personhood. Yeah. Instead of feeding myself all these lies, because like, I'm a failure, I'm stupid, I'm not a success. Like, those are lies. That's not truth, right? Getting the help that I needed professionally, bless, love my counselor. She's the best. I need to send her a Christmas card. And then also, I really started focusing on my health. And so, like I said, I've been struggling with this chronic illness and we had no answers for almost a year. And like I said, I'm trying to balance all these businesses and I'm sick and I have three kids. Like, life was crazy. We were building our first house. We had so many issues with our house. We're like living all over the place. It was insanity. But I felt like the Lord also, you know, to that parable of the managers with the talents, he was like, this is your season right now. You are sick and you feel like you can't do a lot, but I need you to keep being a good steward of your body. And so by pursuing that stewardship health-wise, like, I went for my regular ladies appointment, and that's where we learned I had like a hormone disorder, and that's what had been causing me to be so sick. And I was like, wow, God, like had I just thrown in the towel and like not taken care of myself, or if I'd still been so overconsumed with my businesses, I wouldn't have had the time to make sure that I was taking care of my body and I would continue being sick because I wasn't being a good steward. And so then he put me in the season of healing, and I realized, well, because I put all these businesses aside, I can focus on healing, which was like, I don't know. I just never, it never crossed my mind that that was an option. And so that's been a huge part of my healing journey of feeling let down by these things, but also realizing that I don't call it celebrating failures anymore. Like I call it now celebrating seasons, because I see that again, like the Lord was giving me wins. I can look back on these experiences, and let me say, I could not say this 2 months ago. I really couldn't. I was not in a place to feel optimistic about this journey. But now I see that the Lord is calling me to a season of raising young children. And that is not an easy season. Raising young children, raising children, period, especially when they're little, is really hard. Like, guys, like, it's not easy. And I think sometimes we look at social media and it looks like people are just, you know, spreading fluff on a sandwich is not easy. So I guess spreading jam on a sandwich, like it's just smooth and seamless. And I'm spreading fluff. I'm spreading fluff on the toast, and my bread is like ripping to pieces. Because being a mom, do y'all eat peanut butter and fluff?
No, but I know what you're talking about. Like the fluff, it's like marshmallow goo, right?
Yes.
I genuinely don't know what it is, but yes,
imagine spreading a marshmallow on a piece of bread. It doesn't go well.
I think it's an East Coast thing, because whenever I've asked people about that in the South, they're like, you do what? What do y'all call it? I can't think of the name. There's some name for people call fluff, and I'm like, you call it who? Marshmallow what? But they're like, yeah, that does not go on a sandwich, just so you know. It's very good. I don't eat it anymore.
That's funny.
my metabolism will just amazing. Like plunge and I'll die. But just seeing that this is my job right now. Like this is my business. And and how I show up in this business of motherhood really matters, because I can't put my money behind this, but I can put my soul behind it, right? Mm-hmm. You can put as much money into your kids as you want. That doesn't mean that they're gonna turn out. My vision for my children is that they'll come to love the Lord and they'll be good humans. And they'll learn how to be responsible adults, and they'll be able to live independently on their own, because I've given them the tools and the resources to take care of themselves and cook spaghetti. Like, that's my goal. I want them to go out into the world and be future positive entrepreneurs, spreading kindness and gentleness and love and faithfulness. And in order to do that, I have to be emotionally capable, but I have to be present. I have to be here. If I don't want those things, then I can go, but I don't want to go. And so that took me so long to be able to have that light bulb moment of like, oh, okay. Like this is the season. I still blog when I can. I still podcast when I can. Being able to talk to my husband and say like, I really need this time, whether it's to go get a massage or make sure I'm hitting the gym or having time to podcast once a week, because it's fun for me. It gives me inspiration. It like reminds me of who I am, what I enjoy, having those times of like communication to say, I really need this so I can be a good mom, so I can show up to work tomorrow morning feeling whole and like ready to put my all in. And that's not always easy because we're human, but it just made the transition incredibly smoother. And just learning again, I think too tangibly, get support, ask friends for help, get people in your corner, reach out to your community. Like that was another thing I spent a lot of time on this year. And then also get, I'm sad to say this because we're all on social media, but get off social media. This social media fast that I've taken has been amazing. amazing, because I think we lack the self-control in this digital age to be able to say, okay, I've had enough. I need to withdraw. But being so overconsumed with other people's lives and what they're doing and checking in on their story, like, that's not healthy. It's really not healthy. Getting off social media and getting plugged into real life has helped me tremendously with this journey and letting people in, not just like being vulnerable online, like being vulnerable with people in my church, being vulnerable with my family, being vulnerable with my friends, picking out a little inner circle to ask for permission to be vulnerable with them, to be able to say, like, I'm really having a hard time today. Like, can you speak truth to me? Can we hang out? Mm-hmm. Can we have a kid-free date night after bedtime? Like, not date night, but girls' night. Like, learning how to do that. Mm-hmm. Those four things have been tremendous in this season right now.
Oh my goodness.
My gosh.
I can't even reiterate how life-changing the practical advice that you just gave is for anybody that's listening. Like, genuinely, what you're talking about, I feel like we have it in our brains that, like, oh, we need an ROI. We need to focus on profit, like, in our businesses. Like, that's what we like equate ingrained to success.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's like, what about the ROI of our children and the beautiful souls that we're raising? And you hit on that so well. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to kind of reiterate that. Like, everything that you said, rewind for those listening and then just play it again. Because that was so good.
Repeat the whole episode. Because repeat the whole episode. This is so freaking fire.
Oh my gosh. Kiri, we ask this at the end of every episode, selfishly, because we like reading. But is there any favorite book that you have read recently? And it can be on this topic, or it could be like completely left field fiction. I don't care what it is.
Oh, yes. I love that question. And I love that y'all are fellow readers, because I am like, oh, I love to read. So I have this horrible habit of reading multiple books at once. I don't know, like, I used to run multiple businesses.
Is that for you?
whoops.
That's the mom version of it.
Oh, seriously, it's a problem. I don't know. I don't know what this thing is. This ambition needs to like tone down. It's a problem. So I've been reading The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. Amazing. Oh my word. That book is life changing.
I'm pretty sure my husband is reading that right now.
Really? Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, he is.
I'm also reading 20 something by my friend Kimber Cummings. Shout out, Kimber. So she has this book about like your 20s. And so this is my last year of my 20s, and I'm probably also, that's why I've been having like, you know, mental breakdowns, because I'm not ready to leave my 20s behind. So I'm rereading the last section of her book about your late 20s. And then I just finished a book called The Final Witness. Is it that the last Secret Service agent who protected the Kennedy family? Oh my word. I'm obsessed with the Kennedys. And so that book was like, it was so good. And then also, because I'm on my social media fast, I'm reading the book called Influence, The Impact of Social Media on Our Perception. It's so good. So that's kind of my challenging read.
That's amazing.
To sustain me through this fast.
Because
I really want to show up back on social
media. And
she
gave us so many.
Oh, sorry. What'd you say, Lindsay?
No, I was just saying, we asked for one and you're giving us like five, and I'm so here for this.
We are like jotting them all down.
I'm sorry.
We love it.
No, don't apologize.
They're so good. So yeah, those are so good. They're all so good. Yeah, highly recommend all 75 of them.
Oh my gosh, I adore it. Okay, final question for you, Kiri, in kind of the rapid fire. And I feel like this is an interesting one, given that you stepped away from business. So maybe we could translate this if you want to answer this question related to business, or if you want to answer it related to just life. What is one of the biggest lessons that you have learned in business or in life?
I think it would attribute to both. Getting in touch with your humanity. One of the books I read recently, it was Jackie Hill Perry's Upon Waking, because she will call you out on that. Upon Waking, one of her days was about, and her Glory Conference was about being in touch with our humanity as we do ministry. And we don't have to make ministry like the big pumped up thing that we think it is. Like doing ministry is as easy as saying hello to somebody at the checkout line and looking them in the eye and saying, how are you? Yep. Like that is ministry.
Yep.
We don't have to make it so complicated. But like showing and being human, and not, Kristen Porter, is that her name? At y'all's conference. I'm not getting her name right. Natalie Porter. What's her name? When she said like showing our scars and not
Natalie
our
Natalie Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being human, but like not emotionally dumping on people, showing your scabs, not your wounds. That's what she says. Mm-hmm. And like communicating and relating through your humanity. So like when I say all this stuff, I don't ever want to come across like, oh, I've got it all. I'm doing it perfect. Like, I literally had to text my friends and be like, y'all, so by the way, I'm a hot mess express. I need to get on like some mood stabilizers and I've got to lose like, I need accountability because like I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. So if you don't hear from me for like 2 weeks, please come to my door and make sure that I've showered. Like, because I'm human and I'm struggling. I'm struggling so hard. And I think that's really hard to say sometimes where we don't need to just be like, oh, like, look at me. Yeah. Like, I'm like really struggling. Like, I'm not putting that on Instagram. Like, that's private, right? That needs to be private. We don't need to make a show of that, but we do need to make sure that we're being vulnerable with people. And so I think that goes with business where it's like you have to walk the talk, and like just because you're an entrepreneur does not mean you have it all together. And I think sometimes when you present yourself as such, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Like we have to function, I think, as entrepreneurs at a level of grace where your customers know that you are fallible, your systems are fallible, your tech is fallible, things will happen, fires will erupt. It's not anybody's fault.
Yeah.
That's just life. And so we're going to deal with it. We're going to put the puzzles back together. We're going to get the fire extinguisher out. We're going to show up for my customer. I'm going to show up for myself. I'm going to show up for my friend. I'm going to show up for my husband. Mm-hmm. And like, we're going to put out this fire together. But you can't see me on a pedestal as like some godly figurehead just because I'm wearing the blazer. Like I can't do that. Nobody can do that. So that's probably the biggest life lesson I learned. And I pray that if the Lord gives me another business I will take that with me and remember this season with fondness, but also with like all the lessons I've learned where I will not ever forget these things again. Lord willing, please don't.
Oh, that's so good. Kiri, this conversation has been incredible. I cannot wait for people to listen to this and just hear your wisdom and your life story and just what you're going through and you being just so vulnerable. I think a lot of girls and women and moms can just relate and resonate in feeling a lot of things that you've shared today. So thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Usually we say, wherever can everyone find you? And maybe I'll just say, where can they find you when you do come back online?
Well, also, she still has her blog.
That's true.
And podcast episodes.
Go ahead and grab yourself no matter what, wherever you are, or whenever people are listening to this in the future, too.
Yeah. So my handle on Instagram is mama, M-A-M-A, underscore K, underscore Price. And my blog is called Wildly Rooted Ministry. So it's wildlyrootedministry.org. My podcast is called Coffee with K. And I've been telling people that if you want to, you know, chat, send me a good old fashioned email, info@wildlyrootedministry.org. I check my emails. I love writing emails. And so I will happily engage there. And yeah, I should be back online after the new year. And I'm looking forward to showing up on that virtual space again as a healthy, intact person and a well-balanced mom.
I love it.
Perfect.
I love it. Kiri, you are so beyond incredible. Thank you for coming on, sharing your journey, your story, and your wisdom with us today.
Thanks, you guys. It was such a blessed time. And thank you guys so much for having me on.